When you pray, is your gaze fixed on God, or are you just focused on how He can meet your needs? Here's Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth.
It's not enough to find the blessings of Christ, the gifts of Christ. Maybe you want a changed husband or you want some other thing in your life. It's not enough to get answers to those prayers. Our seeking is after Him. Oh Lord, my heart seeks for You.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth, co-author of Seeking Him. For January 31st, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh. Yesterday, we began hearing a message from Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth from a past True Woman conference. She described what it means to seek the Lord as your number one priority. Let's pick that message back up. Here's Nancy with part two of Seeking Him Together for Spiritual Awakening.
So, what does it look like to seek the Lord above everything else in our lives? We want to get past those obstacles and hurdles. Well, there are two women in the scripture who were wholehearted seekers and would not let anything deter them from seeking their beloved. We find one in the Old Testament and the other in the New. And I want to take you briefly tonight to two passages of Scripture to look at these women. The first one is found in the Old Testament book of the Song of Solomon. And just in a nutshell, the Song of Solomon is a love story. It's a story of a bride and her beloved and their love relationship. And in chapter one, there's a description of this passionate honeymoon love. But by the time we get to chapter three, we have the first of two accounts, the other one is in chapter 5, of a breach in her relationship with her beloved. Now, some understand this passage we're getting ready to read here at the beginning of chapter 3. Some think this is the bride recounting a bad dream. Others think it's something she actually experienced. Regardless, I think it illustrates what it means to seek after the one you love. Let me read beginning in verse 1. She says, "By night on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. I will rise now, I said, and go about the city. In the streets and in the squares, I will seek the one I love." And then for the second time, she says, "I sought him, but I did not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me. I said, 'Have you seen the one I love?' Scarcely had I passed by them when I found the one I love. I held him and would not let him go." I think we could outline just those four verses this way. In verse 1, we see that she's missing something. She's missing her beloved. And then verses 1 through 3, she's seeking something, seeking her beloved. And then verse 4, she is finding. Missing, seeking, finding. And it's a progression that I believe all of us can experience in our relationship with the Lord. Let's unpack those verses for just a few moments here. Verse 1, she realizes that something is wrong. Something has separated her from her beloved, and she misses him. She says, "By night on my bed, I sought him." The word actually in the original is not night singular, it's nights plural. Night after night after night, over a period of time, I sought the one I love. You see, she has lost intimacy that she once experienced with her beloved. Do you know what that is like in your relationship with the Lord? Have you experienced at times that kind of breach? You can even be involved in spiritual activities, but not experiencing the reality of His presence in your life. And I know what it is to be in full-time ministry, but to have a heart that is cold and distant and separated from my beloved. But this woman is not content. This bride is not content to be separated from the one she loves. So she begins to pursue restoration of intimacy with her beloved. Ladies, an evidence that we love Christ, that we belong to Him, is that we seek Him. That when there's that breach in the relationship, our hearts pursue reconciliation and restoration. So where does she start searching? Well, it says in verse 1, "By night on my bed, I sought the one I love." She starts right where she is. It's convenient. It's easy. She didn't have to go anywhere. There's no great effort required. And I think at this point, this woman is concerned, but she's not yet really desperate. But then as she starts to search from her bed, she doesn't immediately experience the restoration of the intimacy once she begins seeking. But notice, she doesn't give up. She is not willing to keep going on without him night after night after night. So what does she do? She seeks even more earnestly. Verse 2, she says, I will rise now. Does that remind you of the prodigal son in the far country when he got really, 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 really desperate? He goes, I will rise now and go to my father. I will rise now. She doesn't go back to sleep. She doesn't wait till morning. She's resolved to do whatever it takes to find him. She's finally willing to move, to get up off her bed during the night, to have her rest disturbed. She takes intentional steps to find the one that she loves. I wonder how many times God has wanted to be found by us, but we just rolled over and went back to sleep. Listen, we're not likely to find him as long as we're unwilling to rise up out of our current circumstances and take intentional steps to seek him. And so she goes on this intensified search. She's determined. She's resolved. I'm not going to stop until I found him. I'm going to keep on seeking. And she goes out on this full-scale, all-out search, you know, missing person, APB. She goes out into the city streets and squares, and she wants to check in every possible place where he could be. This is a thorough search. It's a focused search. She is not going to give up. She is not going to be deterred in her search. And I think that kind of focus and intensity is required when we want to experience restored intimacy with the Lord Jesus. It doesn't just happen. We have to be willing to turn our attention away from other competing desires and distractions so that we can turn our eyes upon Jesus, focus on him. We can't seek the one we love while we're loving and seeking after other things that compete with his place in our lives. So in verse 3, she inquires of others who know him. They're called the watchmen in this passage. And she's not ashamed, she's not embarrassed to ask for help, to tell him that she loves him, and to say, how can you help me find him? She declares her love and her longing. But as it turns out, not even they can solve her problem. You see, friends and spiritual leaders can be helpful, but ultimately we can't expect them to restore our relationship with Christ. This bride is not satisfied to be with those watchmen. She wants him. She wants her beloved, and she refuses to give up. She refuses to go back home. She is not going to stop until she has found him. And so she perseveres and she presses on beyond those watchmen. And then verse 4, finding. Oh, the joy of finding. She said, scarcely had I passed by them when I found the one I love. Her search is rewarded. It doesn't say where or how. And at this point, it doesn't really matter. But the fact is, those who seek and those who keep seeking will find. I wonder, she says, it's just a little bit after I passed by them, and I wonder how many times we give up just short of finding him, the one we love. I found the one I love. She says, I found him. We're talking about seeking him. She's not satisfied with anything less, anything else. It's not enough to find the blessings of Christ, the gifts of Christ. Maybe you want a changed husband or you want some other thing in your life. It's not enough to get answers to those prayers. Our seeking is after him. Oh, Lord, my heart seeks for you. It's not enough to find sound doctrine, to just know more about him. None of those things can take the place of finding him, enjoying personal communion with him. And so she says, having found him, I held him, and I would not let him go. You just imagine the joy of that reunion. She doesn't ever want to lose him again. So she clings more tightly and with greater fervor than she had previously. Now, it turns out, and we're not going to go into this part, but two chapters later, once again, there's a breach, a brokenness in the relationship. So having found him, clinging to him tightly, doesn't mean that you can stop pursuing. In fact, I believe that from here to heaven, we're going to be on a lifetime pursuit, seeking the one we love, clinging to him. And that's what this bride illustrates. Now I'm going to take just a few moments to look at a second woman in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10. Listen as I read this passage. Familiar passage to most of us. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Many things. Can't you hear the Lord saying that to you? I can hear him saying it to me. Many distractions. Nancy, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Only one thing in life is absolutely necessary. What is it? Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Now, by any human measurement, Martha was a good woman. By modern standards, she would be considered a godly woman. After all, she was hospitable, she was serving the Lord. But self-sufficiency, busyness, distractions, and substitutes kept her from seeking the Lord while she was serving him. And as a result, she was left frazzled and frayed and frustrated. Do you ever look in the mirror and see that looking back at you? Frazzled eyes. Oh, I do so many times. And it's because I become distracted. I'm serving the Lord, but I'm not seeking him. By contrast, Mary had her sights fixed on Christ. Everything else could wait. Everything else could wait. Yeah, they've got a whole crew of men at the house for dinner. It could wait. You know, in fact, Jesus could make dinner, right? I mean, he could just say the word. He can feed a 5,000. He can feed, yeah. Or we can eat peanut butter and jelly, or we can fast, or everything else can wait. Nothing mattered more to Mary than seeking the Lord. And she didn't drift into that posture. It took intentionality. Mary has chosen the good portion. Mary said no to distractions. No to her iPhone. Mine's buzzing crazy like crazy up here. She said no to other good things, to sit at his feet and listen to the Lord. Here's something that struck me as I've been meditating on this whole thing of seeking the Lord. According to God's word, we are either seeking him or we are forsaking him. If we are not seeking him, we are forsaking him. There is no middle ground. Say, how do you know that? Listen to this scripture where David said to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, "If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." A sign that you are a child of God is that you seek the Lord. That's your heart. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 6 speaks of those in Judah who have turned back from following the Lord, who do not seek the Lord or inquire of him. If we're not seeking the Lord and inquiring from him, then we are turning back from following him. Are you seeking him tonight? Or have you turned back from following him? You may have experienced what it means to seek the Lord in the past. You may have had a heart to seek Him, but maybe in this season of your life, your heart has become barren and dry and cold. Are you desperate to experience restoration of His presence in your life? If so, are you willing to get honest, as that bride did when she lost fellowship with her groom, to acknowledge your condition and your need to the Lord, to ask Him for help, ask Him to give you a heart to seek Him, ask others around you, pray that God will give me a heart to seek the Lord? Are you willing to say to Him, I will rise now. I'm ready to get up from my bed. I'm willing to take whatever steps are necessary to be restored to intimacy with You. I don't want to stay in this place of separation. I want to live in union and communion with You, Lord. Please make Yourself known to me. I must have You. Nothing else matters. And then can I say, keep on seeking. And don't be content until you can say, I have found the one I love. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm chapter 27, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Doesn't that sound like Mary? One thing, to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His word. Psalm 27 goes on to issue an invitation that I believe God is issuing to our hearts tonight. Verse 8 of Psalm 27, you have said, here's what God says, seek my face. Now in the original language, that's a plural command. God is saying to all of us in this place tonight, seek my face. Y'all, as they say in the South. All of you, plural, seek my face. That's God's invitation to us tonight. But then the response is a very personal one. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. It's not plural there, it's singular. So God says to all of us, seek my face. And one person, the psalmist says, my heart says to you, O Lord, your face, O Lord, do I seek. Will you be one who will respond tonight personally? O Lord, I will seek your face. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will seek your face. If nobody else in my family does, if nobody else in my church does, if nobody else in my row does, if nobody else on our bus does, oh Lord, I will seek your face. To do that, are you saying, yes, Lord? To seek the Lord, you may need to say no to some other things. Because it's real easy to sit in here and wave our white hankies and seek the Lord. We don't have anything else to do in here, right? But when you go to your room tonight, you got TV, you got Facebook, you got Words with Friends, you got phones, and maybe you need to call and check in on your kids or your mate. I understand that. The question is, when you have a choice, are you going to seek Him or are you going to seek other things? Are you going to say no to some of those things? Maybe fasting from Facebook, maybe limiting your computer use, maybe turning off the TV. And I'm not saying there's no list of rules here. I'm just saying whatever it takes to seek the Lord, do it. Do it. Maybe it means getting up earlier, setting aside time. That's our most precious commodity. Seeking Him takes the willingness to make those sacrifices. And what happens when we seek Him? Just a word about the rewards of those who seek Him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 tells us. Let me just read to you some of the verses that talk about the reward. Psalm 40, verse 16, may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Psalm 69, 32, you who seek God, let your hearts revive. Psalm 34, verse 10, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. And Jeremiah 19, verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. What happens when you seek him? You get joy, satisfaction. Your deepest needs will be met. Your heart's longings will be fulfilled. Why? Because when you seek him, you will find him. And all we need is found in him. You have him. You have everything else that you could ever, ever need. That's what some of the old-time, old souls used to call the beatific vision. What do we mean by that? It's the vision, the ultimate vision of seeing God. And we read about that in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, where faith will become sight and prayer will become praise, and all the seeking of the Lord we have done when he seemed so far and when couldn't seem to find him and we had to walk by faith and not by sight, the veil will be removed, the distance will be removed, we will be with the Lord, he will dwell with us, he will be our God, we will be his people, and we will see his face. That's the reward of seeking him. That's the reward of seeking him. Let me close with this illustration and challenge to our hearts. There was an old-time revivalist. His name was Gypsy Smith. Perhaps you've heard of him. And the story is told that Gypsy Smith would go to a town to preach. He was an itinerant preacher, and he would come to the town where he'd been invited, and he'd come to the outskirts of the town, and he would stand and draw a circle in the ground, in the dirt, on the outskirts of town. And then he would step inside that circle, and he would begin to pray for God to move in that town. And he would say, Lord, please send revival to this community. But oh God, let the revival start inside this circle. Let it begin in me. Your face, Lord, I will seek. It's not my brother, not my sister, not my mother, not my pastor, not my friend who came with me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of you.
And let it begin in me. Wow. Such a powerful message from Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth, speaking to thousands of women gathered for a True Woman Conference. She'll be right back to pray. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but seeking the Lord has been a theme throughout the month of January here on Revive Our Hearts. And to go along with that theme, we've been offering you the 12-week study workbook Nancy helped write. It's titled Seeking Him, Experiencing the Joy of Personal Revival. And it's our gift to you as a thank you for your donation of any size to help support Revive Our Hearts. I really hope you'll get a copy and start working through it either on your own or maybe in a small group. You can make a donation and request Seeking Him when you go to reviveourhearts.com or when you call 1-800-569-5959. The True Woman 25 registration cost goes up tomorrow. So if you've been thinking about signing up, now is a great time. In October, we'll hear from speakers like Kevin DeYoung, Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth, and many more, as together we behold the wonder of God's Word. Find out more and register at truewoman25.com. And Revive partners, don't forget that your registration fee is already covered by us. Have a wonderful weekend. Keep seeking the Lord for a spiritual awakening in your home, in your church, in your city, in your country, and in our world. Next week, Nancy will help us know how to pray as she shares a list of requests that she prays for herself. I hope you'll join us for that. Now, here's Nancy to close.
And as we bow our hearts before the Lord tonight, let me just ask, if your desire is to seek Him, would you just let the Holy Spirit draw a circle in your heart right now? And say, oh Lord, I want others in this place to seek your face. I want them to be revived. Some of you have left a mate back home who desperately needs to meet with God. Some of you have got prodigal children who desperately need the Lord. Some of you are in a workplace that is so pagan and people need the Lord and your heart is so heavy. Would you draw a circle inside your own heart and say, Lord, send revival to this circle. Let it begin in me. You have said, O Lord, seek my face. And tonight my heart says to you, your face, O Lord, do I seek. If it would be your desire, if it is your desire tonight to say, Lord, if nobody else does, I want to seek your face. Would you just join me in standing to your feet and say, Lord, I want to seek you, whatever that means, whatever that looks like, thoughtfully, I want to seek your face. Oh, Lord, I pray for my sisters who are standing and those who maybe there's a battle going on in their heart and they couldn't bring themselves honestly to stand before you. Oh, Lord, you know all our hearts. But may our hearts cry out to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. And thank you for your incredible promise that when we seek you with all our hearts, we will find you.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.